Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
May is Maytag Month, and Menards is passing the savings on to you. You need reliable and energy-efficient appliances to conquer the day. Menards is your one-stop shop with appliances in stock and ready to take home today. Check out our top appliance brands, including KitchenAid, Maytag, Whirlpool, Amana, and Criterion. Save big money on Maytag appliances at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Good Thursday, everybody. Welcome into Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, the game. She's Michelle Knezovic. He's Nick Kieser. I'm Chase McCabe. Hope you're having an awesome start to your day. I just made Michelle do a double take because I did like a primal scream before we went on the air. I don't know. I guess that got me going.
You fired up. I was a little nervous / excited that there was some breaking news.
No.
But Chase is just getting us amped up this morning.
It's like I have energy, and when I have energy, I do things like that. So I'm feeling good today. I am going
to
have a mini rant later on in the show.
Love to hear it.
That is not sports related, but it is something that has been bothering me for a while, and it happens way too much. So,
and I bet you it happens to a lot of other people.
It happens to everybody, and when I say it, I have a feeling it's going to trigger you too.
Yeah, don't tell me, and then we'll both have a really authentic rant at. We'll keep you updated on that time.
We'll do that at 9:45. We'll do that when we talk a little hoops, and then I'll work that in. Nick Kieser, the reporter, is here as well as we get things started. And I asked this question today, Michelle.
The question of the day
that, you know, I was listening to Robbie and Rex Road this morning, and I've obviously been listening to all the draft talk. And, you know, as I said yesterday, I'm ready for the draft to be here. Thank the good Lord, it is 1 week away from this evening that Roger Goodell will walk across that stage and say, welcome to the 2023 NFL draft. But the question is, are we now, with all this quarterback chatter that's out there and all this stuff of, you know, could the Titans move up? Could Houston move out of number two? And all this, you know, lying and maybe not lying and all these things. I'm starting to wonder, are we going to be more surprised now if the Titans don't take a quarterback next week at the draft?
Yeah, I mean, it's a good question because we've talked about it so frequently ever since just chatter has come out about maybe Houston not wanting a quarterback, maybe them waiting and sticking with Davis Mills for a year, their non-confidence in CJ Stroud, the amount of quarterbacks who will, I believe, go in the first round. I think four of them will at least go in the top 15. And where did the Tennessee Titans fall in that? Will they decide to use draft capital, move up to go and get an elite guy? You have Arizona at 3, who has made it clear that they're open and they aren't looking to get a quarterback this year. And now you potentially have Houston as well sitting at 2. And that makes the story a lot more interesting on how this draft could pan out. And I know personally I'll be disappointed because the quarterback is the position that makes the world go round, right?
Sure.
When you draft a high QB prospect, of course it's going to make everybody more excited because it's the, well, what can he be? What is his ceiling? Could he be the starting quarterback? When is he going to play? What does this mean for the franchise? And we've seen so many young, exciting quarterbacks in these last couple of drafts that it gets people so excited. And think about the last time this organization drafted a quarterback. It was Marcus Mariota. Chase, you were in this market when that happened. I mean, what was the vibe like? I'm sure it was so exciting, right? I mean,
yeah.
He was an elite college quarterback. The hype was, you know, through the roof.
I remember, I'm trying to think, like, where I was. I mean, I was here, obviously, for my career. But, yeah, it was. And that's all we talked about. Okay, this is how Rustin Webster and Ken Wisenhunt, you know, they're going to move into the next era and get him. And then I even remember that first game because the NFL you know, did it perfect. It was Titans versus Tampa, so number one versus number two. So yeah. Jameis versus Mariota. And there was a lot of promise with Mariota. Now, you know, had he had a competent head coach from the beginning,
who knows?
Then, you know, who knows what he could have become. But Ken Whisenhunt was so awful that, you know, that who you know, that that really kind of backed him up, I believe. But yeah. And so I think there would be a ton of excitement with a quarterback. It obviously helps us, would give us something to talk about
for
a long time. But here's the other thing. I came in to Robbie and Rexford and made the joke. I said, watch us have all this talk, and then they take Bijan Robinson. And Joe even said, goes, well, I would love that. I mean, again, that would give us something to talk about. Like, what are they doing? Like, he's a good player, but, you know, that would obviously change a lot of the narrative if they were to do that at 11 or move back or what have you. But that is the question. 615-737-1025. That's our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Would you be more surprised at this point if the Titans don't end up taking a quarterback? Now, you brought up the C.J. Stroud stuff. I'm still not buying it. I still think he goes top two, but and I think Houston ultimately does. I think this is where the lion season lying, not lion.
I understand what you're saying. I just don't think. I mean, for Houston, they're already at two. It's not like them saying that they are not interested in C.J. Stroud. Or I know they haven't come out and officially said it, but you know, John McClain works heavily with them, has covered them for many, many years, said that on Hot Mic with Jonathan and Chad Withrow, that they're not fully in on C.J. Stroud. And I look at that situation and I think, okay, maybe another team would trade up and go and get him. Or, you know, maybe they would trade up and go and get Anthony Richardson. We just don't know. I think the S2 scores have come into play on C.J. Stroud. I just don't know why there would be a reason for Houston specifically to lie if they were going to get him.
Yeah. I mean, who knows? It's so hard to really figure it all out, you know, of who's lying and who's not. But Dane Brugler of The Athletic was on with Robbie and Rexrode this morning and discussed that he's heard that the Titans, they're making calls to move.
What is the ripple effect of, okay, do people are teams trying to trade up to number three with the Cardinals? What are the Colts doing on four? You know, the Titans are interesting. They have the Titans have made calls to teams picking between two and six. And I know that's not a smokescreen because I've heard it from multiple teams. They have made those calls just to say, and that's not completely different than most years. You're always making calls just to see what it takes to move up, and you know what's the trade package look like. So not crazy that they're doing that, but you know it's at least interesting because this is a team we know could be interested in a quarterback. And you know if a C.J. Stroud were to fall past two, what happens at number three? What are the calls that the Cardinals are getting? You know, how does that affect where Anthony Richardson goes? Will Levis? It's a really interesting domino effect if the Texans do in fact decide we're not going to take a quarterback. Are they able to trade out of there, or are they just content taking a Will Anderson or a Tyree Wilson? So it's the intrigue. The closer we get to the draft, I think the better we feel. Bryce Young at one, the Panthers at number one, but then the intrigue starts at two with Houston, and I think that's really where the drama is going to start.
That was Dane Brugler earlier today from The Athletic with Robbie and Rexrode. And he said that this isn't a smokescreen. He's hearing that from multiple sources. I think a lot of that is going to depend on what happens in front of them. And, you know, as he said, by the time we're on the air this time next week, I do wonder if a domino has fallen. Now, I mean, we already saw the first overall pick get moved, but that happened a while ago. And so Carolina is now picking number one overall. But could by the time we go on the air next week, Houston have moved out of two or Arizona's traded three? Because the thing that I would hate to see happen is if the Titans decided that there's a guy that they absolutely freaking love and they know that can be their guy and they are dead set on that's who we're going to take and we're going to do what we're going to move heaven and earth to take this guy. And then they do that and the way that, you know, the draft is going, you know, and the chatter that you're hearing in the draft is basically they, you know, if they try to move up to three and they could have probably moved up to five or six and still gotten the guy they want. And there's no way to know that. Like, that's the hard part. That's the gambling part of it with being a GM. But there's going to be some of that. Again, it goes back to my premise that I believe this draft is going to be drunk.
Yeah, I mean, it happens all the time. You see teams, I mean, I think of the Chicago Bears, for instance. They were talking to Patrick Mahomes saying that we really like you. Patrick Mahomes thought he was going to be a Chicago Bear. They move up, they get Mitch Trubisky. Patrick Mahomes falls later in the draft to the Chiefs. And it ended up working out for the Chiefs, and it ended up working out for Patrick Mahomes. But you can play the coulda, shoulda, woulda every single year in the draft. But what you have to do is you trust yourself. You're a general manager for a reason. You're a scout for a reason. You're an NFL coach for a reason. And it's not our job to evaluate these players. I mean, you know, we're not qualified for that. And I think it kind of brings up a point that Andrew has on the text line. He says, I'm sorry, but I would never believe a new GM would risk everything in his second month of the job trading up to move up and get a quarterback. When you have a starting quarterback, it's too dangerous and reckless. Hope y'all are ready for Paris Johnson Jr. And to Andrew's point, I mean, he's been in the league. He was in the building when San Francisco traded up to get Trey Lance. He saw how that went down. And no, looking at it right now, did that work out? No. And if you look around the league, you know, you have to be able and willing to take a risk if you're a general manager, because at the end of the day, nobody really knows. How many first round picks do we see bust? How many second round picks? How many fourth round picks do we see become elite players in the league? Sixth round picks, right? I mean, it really is a gamble, but if they believe somebody is their quarterback of the future, you do everything and you say, you know what, we don't care. We believe that he will be our franchise quarterback and we're going to do everything to move up to two or to move up to three. And if you realize after the fact, darn, we could have stayed or moved up to five or six.
Right.
You can't look at it that way.
No, you just have to decide if that's your guy. And you know, to Andrew's point, I mean, I actually think it's the opposite. I mean, he knows that the previous general manager missed, you know, in the first round twice, pretty bad.
And never got to draft a quarterback.
And, you know, I mean, that's kind of the human element of this. He wants to make a splash. Now, I think he's going to be smart about it. Mm-hmm. But, again, if he and Mike Vrabel and then Amy Adams Strunk has to be on board to, you know, get in a room and they're like, we think Anthony Richardson is our guy that we can build around, that can be the quarterback for this team for the next 10 years. He can be the guy that we have not been able to find since Steve McNair. Mm-hmm. If they believe that, then guess what? They're going to do it.
Well, and
I don't know if – I mean, it doesn't matter what we believe. It doesn't matter what Andrew or anybody else on the text line believes. It's what they believe.
It is what Mike Vrabel, Ran Carthon, and Amy Adams Strunk believe in that building. And I go back to what Dane Brugler said this morning on Robbie and Rex Road. The Tennessee Titans have been making calls from picks 2 to 6.
Right.
There is no other reason you would be making those calls or thinking about moving up unless it was to get a quarterback. You are not doing that for any other position.
Yep.
Because they aren't an offensive line or a wide receiver who you would be doing that for in this draft.
Unnamed texter says, does anyone just want them to draft a player in the first round who actually plays in games? Yes, that would be good.
Anybody want to win a Super Bowl one day?
Yeah.
Yes.
But, I mean, to their point.
Yeah, to their point.
I think that's pretty good. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, can the Titans trade into the top five but still keep this rebuild that they're likely on short? Maybe a 2-year plan. We'll discuss that coming up next here on Chase and Michelle, 1025, 1063, The Game.
It's hard to kind of think that with Vrabel and Ran Carthon together and what they're thinking, but looking at the roster, it can't just be we're going to be a playoff team next year, even though you may think that, but they have a lot of holes to fill.
Yes. I mean, and offensively, man, I mean, Mace, they don't need just one receiver.
Yeah, you're right.
And they've only got 6 picks. So they've almost got to trade away 11 if a quarterback's there just to fill the roster out around Tannehill and Henry. And I'm basing this off of what they have right now. Mm-hmm. I think if I'm hoping for the fans' sake it's only a two-year process, because if they don't, they have not been getting drafts right at the top of the drafts. And they've got, Carthon's got to get this draft right to set things up on course for that scenario that you're laying out to happen. Those guys have to be producers.
Jonathan Hutton yesterday, Caroline Willie and D-Mace back here chasing Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 the game. And that is right. They have to get, Rand Carthon has to set the course correctly for the Tennessee Titans to boldly go where they have not gone before. Had to throw the Star Trek reference in there. Sorry.
Everybody guess. Have I seen it? No.
It is Picard Day, so had to throw that in there to show my nerd side. But, yes, taking your calls and your text, 615-737-1025, on if you believe that you would be more surprised at this point if the Titans didn't take a quarterback in next week's draft. And that's the thing. And you know, we've talked about this. Whenever the first rumor started that they could trade up to three to likely take a quarterback, everything they would have to give up to do that. Mm-hmm. They only have six draft picks this year. How much would that set them back with all of the holes that they have? And you know, I'll be honest, I was hesitant, and I still am a little hesitant of it because of that reason. So if right now, if in their mind, and they're never going to say this publicly, but they're like, hey, we're on a two-year plan to reset this thing, that we'll ride it out one more year with Tannehill and Henry and see what happens there. Because as Joe likes to say, they're not going to be dog water enough to – you know, to maybe get the number one overall next year because of that. But moving all these picks to move up and get your quarterback of the future, does that set you back another year or two because you're still not taking care of things that you need to take care of? So will the fan base be okay and be patient if they get the franchise quarterback of the future, but they might stink for a little while longer?
Well, and, you know, we've brought up this comparison too, between the Nashville Predators and between the Tennessee Titans. Both of them had, I don't want to say their glory days, but were very successful from that 2016 to 2021 range. Mm-hmm. Both teams consistently making the playoffs. 2017, obviously, was the big Predators run. 2018 team was successful. And you flip to the Tennessee Titans side. Those were their AFC Championship runs with Derrick Henry in his prime and Ryan Tannehill. And now they're both in similar situations as well. The Preds have given the signal to the fan base that at the trade deadline, selling, bringing younger guys up, they've told you what you're doing. But with this Tennessee Titans team right now, we're still in that unknown.
Right.
They have a new general manager. They have six picks in this year's draft. They didn't make any splash moves in free agency. So now we continue to wait. I believe if they do draft a quarterback, that will signal, okay, we are starting the reset.
Right.
We are hitting the reset button and looking
to... But I think they already have to an extent. But as we've discussed on semantics of words, I believe a true rebuild is if you get a new quarterback.
Yeah, and so, get rid of Derrick Henry,
right.
I believe.
Yeah.
Or Kevin Byard in addition, right? They already moved off of the Taylor Lewan and the Ben Jones, two significant guys on their offensive line and veteran players, but they haven't officially signaled to you, hey, we are rebuilding.
But the thing is, I think you can, as much as it would hurt, you can survive without Kevin Byard. You can survive without Derrick Henry. But if you're completely starting over at quarterback, especially if it's a rookie, that's a rebuild, like in my opinion. Because you can go and you can find – I mean, who knows? We don't know what Hassan Haskins is. I don't think he's Derrick Henry, but we don't – I mean, who knows? We don't know. We didn't think Derrick Henry was Derrick Henry when they drafted him. Mm-hmm. You know, like he – I will never forget, and I guarantee you he has selective memory on this, but I was doing a Preds playoff show at the arena with Jared. This was the series against Anaheim, I think, the year before they made the run to the Cup. And we were at the arena, and it was during the second round of the draft. It was a Friday night, and he's making some point about the Predators, and then he goes, and apparently the Titans just drafted Derrick Henry, which I don't even know why they would do that. I don't know what that's about.
We need to find that audio.
And he like, you know, was like, what are they doing? Because they had DeMarco Murray, and at the time, Derrick Henry was viewed as a really good college running back, but maybe not would be an NFL running back. And now we're talking about that he's a potential Hall of Famer. So you never know.
You really don't, Chase, and I think that's a great point. And it's whether you get a Tom Brady in a sixth round or Brock Purdy, which we saw a guy be able to step in. But switching back to it's a new general manager.
Yep.
And the pressure on him to hit in the first round because of John Robinson's recent misses in the first round. There is more pressure. Is it fair? No. Is it the way this business works? Yes. The fan base can look at decisions that the organization has made in years past and still say, well, why is this still happening, even if it is a different general manager? And to a point, I think, okay, that's fair. You've experienced situations over and over again, but it still is a new general manager, and you have to give him the benefit of the doubt, but Mike Vrabel is still there. Mike Vrabel is going to have a big role in this draft as well, because I think when they announced Rand Carthon, the clear message, and no, nobody said it, they said collaboration, but when you look at it, it was Amy Adams Strunk decided not to get rid of Mike Vrabel, it was to get rid of John Robinson, and Mike Vrabel helped with them decide who they wanted to be the new general manager. So it's going to be on him too as well in this draft, I believe.
It's going to be on everybody. I mean, yeah, that in Vrabel's, you know, you say that, you know, she made the decision to keep him, but I mean, if they go through this rebuild and this team, you know, doesn't perform very well, then, you know, what's that going to mean for him moving forward? You know, so. And I love the text line. Andrew likes to be combative.
I'm reading Andrew's text, and I don't understand what he's saying. You can't survive without Henry next year because he's the only guy that will put people in seats. Did we ever say we were getting rid of Derrick Henry?
No, but I said I made the comment. I said if you moved on, because you were basically saying if you move on from him, then that signifies rebuild. And I said you can survive without him, you know, because of the running back position. But that's fine.
Well, Andrew
likes to
now.
Argue. He likes to argue with me, so that's cool. But thank you for listening, Andrew.
Yeah, but I think a lot of people would agree you can't survive without Derrick Henry, even you. Survive in the sense of, you know, fan-based support. You're not going to win a lot of games.
Well, probably not, but that's – you are – again, if you are just sticking with Tannehill, yeah, you're right. You're not going to survive. But I'm saying with that running back position, if you have a lot of faith in Hassan Haskins, which we don't know what the hell he is, they know more than we do at that point. And I'm not saying he's Derrick Henry. I'm just, he's the one on the roster. Running backs, that's a position you can easily replace. Can you easily replace Derrick Henry and what Derrick Henry has become? No, I agree with that. But that's what I mean. And I think, and Gover said it too, that if they have a 2-year plan, the best running back in the world won't be available that long. That's the philosophy. If that's the philosophy, they need to trade him. And I could understand that. If we get out of this draft and they've drafted the quarterback of the future, then enjoy this year because this is it.
Yeah. Am I going crazy? Isn't Doncho Hilliard on the team?
No. I don't think they re-signed him. I think it's Haskins and the guy they had at the end of the year.
Wow.
Yeah, no, Hilliard, I believe, is still a free agent.
I don't love that. He was your leading receiver last year as a running back.
I know. If they resigned him, I missed that.
Receiving touchdowns. I had the most receiving touchdowns.
Yeah. Yeah, well, which that's kind of a problem within itself.
But. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, obviously.
Coming up next, we'll talk to Teresa Walker of the Associated Press. She's in Memphis covering the Grizzlies. We'll get her thoughts on that. Plus the Titans with the draft just 1 week away. That is coming up here on Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. But don't miss Nashville's best NFL draft coverage coming up next week. You can join Caroline Fenton, Derek Mason, and Chris Sanders on location as they broadcast for day two of the draft on Friday, April 28th. They'll be out at the Inglewood Wingstop located at 3300 Gallatin Pike, where flavor gets its wings. The first 100 people to stop by during the draft will receive a coupon for 5 free boneless wings for their next visit. Chase and Michelle, 1025, 1063 The Game. Chase McCabe, Michelle Knezvik, hanging out with you on this Thursday. Say hello to Teresa Walker, who is always on the go as she covers it all for the Associated Press, the Grizzlies, the Titans. Teresa, what's up? How are you?
Morning, T.
Good morning, Chase and Michelle. I'm trying to wake up. I've been awake for a couple hours now, but it's like my body is like, seriously, you're trying to do this to me after last night? You guys know how it is. When you cover a playoff game, you know, and great, thankfully, I mean, I had a 6:30 tip last night, which, you know, those of us who are used to those Predator 8:45 puck drop of postseason's past, it's like that just seems like a gift from the gods. But the problem was, you know, it was such a game. Lakers led only 3-0 when they, you know, now that the lead changed like five times, but that was their biggest lead was three. The Grizzlies led by 20. And with like 30.8 seconds left, you had that everybody in the building was on their feet, maybe even a Laker fan or two, and they were chanting, whoop that trick, which is a Memphis thing. You know, the old heads were holding up their towels, which goes back to the 2011 playoffs, you know, when they started their first of a franchise record seven straight playoff runs. I think it was against OKC, but, you know, they just stood and, would, you know, it was like they were trying to, you know, give some hope and belief and just urge the Grizzlies to a win. And, you know, and then others are just celebrating and waving that flag. And you had Al Capone in the building leading the whoop that trick. So, I mean, I'm sorry, but those moments are fun. And, you know, and the fun thing is, you know, an hour before tip-off, they announced Ja Morant's inactive. You know, he was a game-time decision. You know, nothing, you know, no ligament damage, no bones broken. It's a soreness between the bones, bruising, you know, just trying to see, you know, and, you know, we're testing it. We did some more exams. And then an hour before, you know, it's like it comes out, he's out. And trust me, I saw some Grizzly fan reactions that included curse words. But they've been here before. A year ago, game five, you know, Morant had missed the, you know, he got hurt, bruised his knee in the third game of that semifinal to the Warriors, the eventual NBA champs, never returned to that series. Game five, they came out and they laid it on the Golden State Warriors to force a game six. Now, here's the thing. You know, now this team is already missing Steven Adams, Brandon Clark, so their front court depth is short. But Taylor Jenkins was mad when that game was over on Sunday. And it wasn't so much that Morant hurt his hand. It was that his team did not play the way they have. They're the number two seed in the West for a reason, guys. They posted the best NBA record this season. Not just that, best record at home in the NBA since the Golden State Warriors last did it. I think it was 16-17. So it's like they know what they're doing. Plus, they're used to having guys step up. They paid Tyus Jones starter money to keep him around to help out on this team. And, you know, I just had a feeling that they were going to do what they did. And I'll say this. The Lakers, it's a good thing there's 2 days between now and game three on Saturday night. The Lakers, particularly LeBron, who Dylan Brooks pointed out is old. He's 38. That felt like a direct attack on anyone over 40, I know. But the fact of the matter is, after that, it's day off game. And that's where the Grizzlies will have a chance to turn this series totally in their favor.
Teresa Walker from the AP joins us. Teresa, you touched on this a little bit, but Ja gets ruled out yesterday. And what we've seen from this Grizzlies team, not only this year, but you mentioned in years past, the ability to perform and to win high-intensity games when their best player, when a guy who's one of the best at what he does in the NBA as a whole, they're able to rally together and perform at such a high level. How important do you think that is for this team specifically, especially because Ja Morant, early in his career, we've seen him have significant injuries that have held him out of important games late in the season?
Well, I did the math. I think last night was like the fourth game out of five playoff games that he's missed with injuries, you know, because he got hurt in game three of the semifinals last year, missed the final three games there, got hurt in game one Sunday, with 5:48 left, didn't finish that game, and then missed this one. So, and now, but last year he had injuries. They went like 20-5 during the regular season without him. And, you know, I think somebody put up the stat that, you know, when Tyus is starting, you know, and I haven't backstopped this one, but that like they're 19-6 with Tyus as the starting point guard. So they're used to it. And, you know, and here, and guess what? Before last night's game, they gave the Defensive Player of the Year award to Jaren Jackson Jr. Now, he started out cold just like Anthony Davis. He was 1-6 to start the game shooting, but he hit a big three in the final minute before halftime, you know, to get going, and he ended up in double digits. Anthony Davis, you know, one of his worst performances. He was like 4-14 for the night. And John Conchar, who is 5 inches shorter, he's 6'5". Anthony Davis is 6'10".
Yeah.
He went up and blocked Anthony Davis at the at the top of his shot, you know, and just helped set a tone. So it's like, you know, from the top of this roster to the bottom, there's a lot of confidence. You know, they've had lineups. I mean, shoot, Kenny Lofton Jr., they signed him, you know, as a depth guy for their front court when they, you know, at the end of this regular season. And you know, for Vol fans, I know it hurt. They released Kennedy Chandler, who had a guaranteed contract with the Grizzlies. They liked him so much, but they had to bulk up their front court. And, you know, Jaren Jackson Jr., Xavier Tillman, guys, third-year guy out of Michigan State. You know, he played in the Summer League each of the last 2 years. He played some G League games this year. But, again, because they've got such depth that when they, you know, they are not afraid to send some of their young players down to the G League to keep them playing. You know, kind of like with the Predators sending guys back down to Milwaukee, you know, keep them playing because playing minutes mean so much. And Xavier Tillman, guys, you know, he's going up against Anthony Davis, right, an 8-time All-Star, LeBron James, and he is weaving his way in and out. And he had more points in the first quarter last night than he had all of game one. And he had a career high, especially in the playoffs, but career high overall, 22 points, 13 rebounds. And, I mean, he just set a tone. I mean, the first shot he missed last night was his seventh, and it was a three trying to beat the buzzer at the end of the first half, and he still hit the right rim on the iron. So that's the – for them to win this series – and I know that, you know, we are talking about LeBron. So, you know, you almost have to throw seeds out the window.
Yes.
Memphis is the number 2 seed. Lakers is the 7 seed. But they got LeBron. And let's face it, you know, there's a huge chunk of this country who are LeBron James fans who are rooting for him to keep winning and extend his incredible career. And the Memphis Grizzlies know this. So, guess what? Similar to Nashville, they've got that chip on their shoulder. They know that nobody outside of Tennessee is counting on them, so they bond around that, and I cannot wait to see what – I know I'm coming back to Memphis for Game 5 a week from yesterday, and then I'll be driving back literally at this time to, you know, for the first night of the NFL draft. It's going to be a busy week next week.
Teresa Walker is with us from the AP. You know, so many times when we're talking about a matchup like this, the coaching battle comes into play. But I'm curious, you mentioned LeBron, you know, how much does that really factor in of, you know, Darvin Ham, who's coach of the Lakers, you know, doesn't have as much experience. He's in his, I think, what, first year, second year with the Lakers. And then Taylor Jenkins has been with Memphis for a while. But how much does LeBron kind of change the whole coaching battle aspect of this series?
Well, Chase, ESPN or somebody tweeted out video last night of him literally drawing up plays on the sideline. The NBA did. So I'm gonna retweet this here real quick. But yeah, so look on my Twitter feed real quick. But yeah, he's literally, I mean, Darvin Ham is in his first year as head coach, right? And Darvin Ham and Taylor Jenkins actually go way back. They were with Mike Budenholzer on his staff in Atlanta, all right? And in Milwaukee. So they've been together. They know each other very, very well. But Taylor Jenkins, you know, guys, he was, you know, he got votes for Coach of the Year last year. He was the Western Conference Coach of the last month of the season. And, you know, this is his fourth year. So he knows, and he got his start in the NBA with the Spurs under some guy named Greg Popovich. You know, have you heard of him? So, you know, so he's been in these playoff battles before, right? This is the, you know, the Grizzlies, won their play-in tournament, the first play-in tournament to get into the playoffs. And then they were the 2 seed last year. They're the 2 seed again this year. So this is his 4th season, 3rd straight playoff berth. Darvin Ham, first year as a head coach, first time in the playoffs. Yes, he's got LeBron James, who apparently does everything for the Lakers, from, you know, helping with personnel moves to drawing up plays to scoring. He led them in scoring last night. But there was a sequence on, you know, they had a shot clock violation in the 4th quarter. That Memphis defense, guys, they play some D, and it's a little overlooked. You know, they led, you know, they had, you know, I think they set a franchise record scoring 18 fast break points a game, but they also know how to play D. And, you know, at one point the Lakers were throwing the ball around. It almost looked like a pinball machine. It was like, no, you take it, boom, 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 boom. And they didn't get a shot off. So, and turned it over. And, you know, that's what helped set the tone in that game last night. Both teams ended up with the same amount of turnovers. I think it was 10 or so. Mm-hmm. But the Grizzlies got twice as many points off of the Lakers' mistakes. And, you know, yes, that's something that they could clean up through scouting and things. But it just feels like, you know, the LeBron James effect is that X factor. You can't quantify it. And you never know when he's going to go off and put up 40, right? But that said, as Dylan Brooks pointed out, he's 38. He's got new guys. He's got new teammates. Hachimura, as good as he's been these first 2 games, he is a recent addition. He was a trade deadline acquisition by the Lakers. So it's going to be interesting to see how they kind of come together, especially after Saturday night, guys, when it's day off game for the rest of the way.
Yeah, and Jared Vanderbilt.
No more LeBron off schedule with 4 days or whatever. That's nice of the NBA to do that. I appreciate that.
Hey, 2-2-1-1-1. And, as Grit Pred fans can remember, when you're traveling between Cali and, Memphis, it's a little bit shorter trip, but it ain't that much shorter. You know, that can take a toll. So they're going to be flying back on Tuesday. And if the Grizzlies win to force it back to L.A., they'll be flying next Thursday, and if there's a game 7, if there's a game 7, and I'm kind of grateful for that because I have the NFL draft next week, it's just that it's not in my town. Game 6 would be Friday night, so yeah, never mind. I had a thought, and I was wrong, so I'll shut up.
No, you're good, T. We appreciate all the NBA talk and the Grizz talk. Having you on with us today.
Yeah, thanks, Teresa. We appreciate it. We'll talk again soon. Probably something about the draft that's coming up in a week. I have a feeling that might come up.
Really, Chase? I mean, a draft? I mean, the team that allegedly is going after every quarterback that's out there right now on other teams and available in the draft? No, we won't talk about that.
No doubt. Teresa Walker, appreciate it as always. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Teresa Walker of the Associated Press joining us here on Chase and Michelle. Coming up next, I'm angry about something, and I think other people have been affected by this as well. We'll talk about that here on Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Join Robbie Stanley from 10 to noon this Saturday for another Kubota field event at the Coleman Tractor in White House for their biggest sales event of the year. Demo Kubota tractors, zero-turn mowers, and more. That's Coleman Tractor, White House, located at 3613 Highway 31 West this Saturday. So, okay, I appreciate Teresa Walker for joining us. You know, Grizzlies tie up the series at 1, which I kind of felt like they were going to do.
Yeah, you were on that train yesterday. Okay, yep, didn't work.
Yeah, don't. No,
yep,
no,
that's, didn't
that's
work.
Okay.
Yep.
But I respect the effort. But Tyus Jones, I want to say, and Big Rick threw this out at me, he's the highest paid backup point guard in the NBA. He's making like $14.5 million a year.
Oh, he's a starting point guard on many other teams in the NBA.
He's a first-round pick.
And the Grizz are very lucky that they have him as a backup option.
I mean, I know in a few games that I've watched, you know, when Ja was out, and then, you know, obviously last night, I'm like, okay, they're – I mean, he's not Ja Morant, but he's solid, and you have other guys picking up the slack. So this is going to – I mean, I think everybody knew this was going to be a tough series because, as Teresa pointed out, the Lakers have LeBron, and you cannot write off LeBron. But I still think overall the Grizzlies are the better team. And hopefully they can prevail, and you know, we'll see if they get Ja back for game three.
Well, all around team too, Chase. And I think that it was really shown last night. And Teresa even mentioned the Warriors series last year, right? When Ja gets hurt, this team has figured out a way to win without him. They can change their play. And a guy like Tyus Jones, he can be a significant factor in the game. I look at Xavier Tillman, a Michigan State guy who was on those Cassius Winston teams at Michigan State, a really solid college basketball player. But I personally never thought that he'd play a significant role on a team in the NBA sometime. But Teresa mentioned this Grizzlies team loves to utilize their G League team and isn't afraid to have them gain the reps there. And, you know, Steven Adams is out. You're number one big guy in the paint. You're going against Anthony Davis and LeBron James, and Xavier Tillman's able to come in and be a significant factor. He had 22 points last night. I don't think he had any turnovers, which is another star next to his name after the night. But you got Jaren Jackson Jr. as well. The defensive performance from them and just the ability to capitalize off of the Lakers' mistakes. I think that that was one of the deciding factors in the end. And now they have a couple more days of rest. So Ja Morant didn't play last night. He has that extra day of rest until they gear up for game four in just a couple of days, which is kind of what I was saying yesterday. If you think you can pull it together and get a win without Ja, and he can just have that little extra time of rest, it'll be crucial when he comes back.
Yeah, the LeBron rest days are going to help Ja. That'll be good. So,
the playoffs are all spread out right now.
I know.
I mean, days in between.
I'm just joking. All right, time for my mini rant.
Let's hear it, Chaser.
Because I think everybody has been faced with this before, but it just, like, it happened to me last night, and it drives me absolutely crazy. And that is when I go to an establishment, and usually it's a drive-thru, so it can be anything. You like to get coffee or whatever. And because I was thirsty, I wanted a drink. That's what I wanted, and I might have gotten some fries too, but that's beside the point.
Beside the point.
Guess what they forgot? They forgot the straw. And like, you think of, okay, some of you might go, okay, well, take the lid off. No, I want the straw. The straw is a very important part of this. And I get so irritated when that happens, because guess what I don't have at home? I don't have.
Really?
No. Not the right. I mean, I have those little dinky things that don't fit in like a normal fast food cup. And so it put me in a mood. I was in a legit mood.
I
didn't have the straw.
I will say, if my sauces are forgot sometimes, I'm like, oh.
That irritates me.
I'm like, ugh, because I do have straws at home, so it's not as bad. But when I don't check and there's a missing sauce, I'm like, oh, this is just really depressing and it's really sad right now. But I will say, when it comes to a beverage, it's usually me in the drive-thru getting an iced coffee somewhere. I need my caffeine so much, I'll just pull the no straw, take the lid off.
Yeah, I know. I mean, you can do that, but like if you're driving, it'll spill and all that stuff. It's just like, and I Rick just tweeted at me saying first world problems, calling me Karen. Yeah, well, you know, maybe I am. But I know that there are other people that this is irritated. It's just like, And I've worked in, you know, my dad owned restaurants, my family owned restaurants. I've worked in the food industry. I've forgotten things to put in. It happens. I get it. But it's like, I can live without certain things. The straw is like, I have to have the straw. Like, I didn't do it last night. I have gone back to get a straw before.
Well, you know what they say? If you want something right, you got to do it yourself. So you got to make sure to check every single time now. Just take the extra step, and then you can avoid situations like that.
Yeah, I know.
You're like, but I don't want to.
I know. And you're right. See, why does this always happen? That I complain about something and it gets turned about. Well, if you had just checked.
Actually, Nate brought up a good point on the text line. Next time you're there, say, hey, can I have a handful of straws and leave them in your car? Now,
okay,
that's a good one.
Okay, you know what, Nate?
That's a good one. We can forgive you for the Bedard comment yesterday.
That is the best tweet or text or call that you have ever made.
I will give you
a lot of credit for that. That was, you know.
Chase is like, you just changed my life.
I need a second. This is life changing.
Well, it's break time.
I know. I feel better. I got that off my chest. So appreciate you all for listening with me on that. Coming up next, we will talk. We'll get back into the draft and the Titans and the price that it would take for the Titans to move. We'll do that here on Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Yeah. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. Yeah. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.